Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City, online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, to go, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Welcome to Sports Talk on a Monday. Man, it doesn't even seem real that a week from Thursday is Thanksgiving. I'm usually the one who I get on people. It's like, really, you didn't see that coming? You didn't see December 25th being Christmas? And by the way, I do believe what I've been told, what I was told when I was younger, you know, when I was in my teens by the 30-somethings, when I was in my 30s by the 50-somethings. Man, once you get to a certain point, you can't believe how time flies. Because here's the mentality I think everybody could relate to. You're 12 years old. Well, it depends on your circumstance. If you had a lot to look forward to, if you had what I would call a traditional, I don't know, but normal, happy upbringing. But you're 12 years old. Maybe you're going to go on a family vacation. Maybe you and your buddies, you know, spent the day playing ball, goofing around. You didn't have a lot of responsibility. Maybe you delivered papers or cut lawns. But for the most part, when school ended for the summer, in the middle of June, the perception of time for a young person is like, we're never going back to school. It's what you got. I mean, June would end. You'd be like, what are you kidding me? We still got all of July and all of August. And it's just, or if worse yet, you wanted something. And your parents were like, yeah, we're not going to be able to do that until your aunt and uncle come to town on July 18th. And you'd be like June 13th. It's like a month that's never going to get here, ever. There's no chance that's going to happen. Then you get older and, you know, you make family vacation and it's, you're going to do it in the spring and you make it in December. And in your mind, oh, April's going to be here in the blink of an eye. Whereas once upon a time, a month was eternity. And now you're like, yeah, trust me, it's going to get here. I'm not in so much of a rush. Well, the college football season is just, it's really like nothing else. Because, first of all, it's so hard to be in it. And it's one of the reasons that some of the debates we get into, where some of you want 8 expanded, I'm like, oh, it's just, it wouldn't be the same. Please don't do this to me. And if somebody said, when are we going to get 8? I still think we're a half a decade away. I think they're going to play out this contract for the simple reason. And I'm not saying the powers that be and the networks buy into my philosophy. But you got to earn it. You got to earn your way in. You can't lose for the most part. And the reason I say that is 2004, when there was a BCS, 3 teams went unbeaten, and one of them got left out. They didn't have a chance to win the title. It was Auburn. Oklahoma got crushed by USC. Now they'd all be in, and whoever was eligible that year, maybe an ACC team like Florida State or somebody, you know, would have got in with one loss. Until there's a 5th unbeaten from a Power 5, as far as I'm concerned, 4 works perfectly. 2 worked perfectly a lot of times. Oregon and Auburn. Texas and USC. Only two unbeatens at the Power 5 level. And for the record, there's never been a fifth, I think, since like in the 1950s. And the way it works out, and I'm all about not who gets denied because they lost, but who might get denied despite winning them all. What would be worse than having five unbeaten Power 5 conference champions, and it's like, Oklahoma, you're out. Oregon, you're out. Clemson, you're out. Ohio State, you're out. I mean, who's kidding? Who right now? I wouldn't say Alabama or LSU, you're out, because that would be like blasphemous to the college football gods to leave out the SEC champ. But to me, it's going to come down, and somebody's going to be pissing and moaning like a child come Selection Sunday. It could end up being Georgia, Oregon, Penn State. And I'm sorry, but the answer is, if you didn't lose your game, you'd be in. And by the way, you have no comeback. Yeah, but no. If Oregon beat Auburn, if Georgia hadn't gotten bounced by a crappy South Carolina team, if Alabama had beaten LSU and Penn State hadn't gotten knocked off by Minnesota, and then they beat Ohio State, that's all. You're in. Every Power 5 team has no excuse. They could win all their games and they're in. History backs it up, and until proven otherwise, I'm right. And it's what makes college football special. Think about it. How many times do you see an NBA team, and by the way, I'm dismissing the 96 Bulls and the teams who win 70 games and never lose. Most teams who win the championship lose 20, 22 games and have a three-game losing streak. NFL teams, as a rule, don't go 15-1 or 14-2, and they get two and they play in the Super Bowl. Baseball teams, how many times did the Giants ever win more than 94 games in any of their three World Series seasons? So they're losing 70 games, they're losing series, and they still have a shot to win the championship. And hockey, too. I mean, the Blues were the worst team in hockey, I think. Were they last in the West?
No, they were the worst team in hockey for a day.
Yeah, and they wound up winning the Stanley Cup. You ain't doing that in college. Well, college basketball, you're going to be like, we're the 68th best team. We snuck in and won out. And that's why there's nothing like college football. The game, think about it. If Oregon somehow wins out, Utah wins out, and the selection committee decides no, they lost the game in August that cost them their shot at the title. And they didn't get cheated out of the game in August. It wasn't the refs. Nobody got paid off. It ended up, you got to win all your games or you're not in. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. It's why I love college football almost as much as I do the NFL, and the NFL had a 29-year head start. I loved college football. I didn't have a rooting interest. I didn't live in a college town. We liked college football because we were sports junkies, because we also wanted something to bet on Saturdays. And, occasionally we'd sneak to the kickoff classic at the Meadowlands and watch Penn State and Nebraska. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Joey. Joey, good afternoon. How's it going?
How you doing, Steve?
All right, what's up?
I got a couple questions. I want to argue with you, but actually I tuned in late. I hopped in my car here, and I heard the middle of what you were getting at about what makes college football special. And I think a lot of what you have to say is valid. I think that it's a different sport than NFL. It's a different sport than pro sports, any sport that we have. I do have a problem with only allowing four teams, and the argument is that if you hadn't lost your game, you'd be in. Simply because there have been some histories where there have been four unbeaten teams.
No, there haven't.
You said there was a
never.
You said there was a fifth unbeaten. There was. I thought you said there was a in the '50s. There was a fifth unbeaten team.
Yeah, but back then it was all pollsters. But I'm saying, in the modern era, there's never even been a fourth unbeaten.
But so in the era that we're in currently, we have four teams. Say three of those teams go unbeaten. This is all hypothetical.
Actually, there's only three now.
There's only three unbeaten, correct. But now there's a fourth team that's going to get into that playoff, and there's going to be five teams that have one loss. Who's to say that the argument is if you would have got in, if you wouldn't have lost your game, you would have got in when there's going to be a one-loss team that gets into the playoff?
Well, I'm just saying, but the teams...
Because that's an Oregon or that's an Oklahoma that gets booted.
But I'm just saying, if they wouldn't have lost, they'd be in.
Well, of course, but then that argument still stands for the fourth team that got in with that one loss. And if they wouldn't have lost, then surely then no one has an argument. But that doesn't happen, as you said. No, four unbeaten teams does not happen. It's going to happen. We're going to have at least one or two one-loss teams that get in, and there's going to be three or four teams behind them with one loss. Who's to say that the two that got in are actually the two better teams?
Oh, I understand.
I want to see that round robin where they play each other, and then we have the last man standing. That to me is what sports is about.
And by the way, also don't forget that if there were eight, 9 and 10 would be pissing and moaning because they didn't get it.
Well, of course, but in that scenario, you'd be having two lost teams having an argument, and maybe there's still like nine teams with one loss. Or, you know, in the top nine, there's, you know, three unbeatens and then five teams with one loss. And then there's a second or third team vying to get in. But then that argument still is a little weaker, in my opinion, where you don't have five teams that all have one loss, that have all round. Basically, what you're saying is that you punish teams that play a tough non-conference, like Oregon going up against Auburn at the beginning of the year. If they wouldn't have done that, they would have no loss. They would be unbeaten right now.
Right.
They would have played some layup.
Oh, no, and by
so
the way...
The argument is you're punishing them for that.
No, and by the way, my main argument, Joey, what I would really like to see is rather than expand the field, go like this. Everybody plays nine conference games, and your three non-conference games have to be one against a Power 5. Then you could play one against another, you know, Sun Belt or Mountain West, and then you could have your one paycheck game. If they evened out the schedule for everybody, then you wouldn't have that problem.
Yeah, and that's leveling playing the field a little bit. But, I mean, teams like Alabama and LSU LSU did play Oregon, but recently, a lot of the best teams take that argument. It's like, all we have to do is win our conference games, and then so we're going to play a bunch of layups. If they did make a change and they did standardize it across for everybody, then maybe that would make it a little more entertaining for just remaining at four teams. But for me, at this stage, I'm a little bit nervous that Oregon's going to be sitting at number five and not get in this year, and that really upsets me because we were the only team out of those five that played a big out-of-conference game to begin the year. And if we would have played a layup, there's no question, as you said, we'd be getting in right now.
All right. Now, valid. Thanks a lot, Joey. The team that I always think about that won a college championship and looked like they were completely done was Kemba Walker and UConn. In 2011, if you remember that, they were they looked like they were dead in the water. They had lost their last two games. They were playing Pitt in like the first round of the Big East tournament. They were losing. Kemba Walker made that legendary ankle breaker crossover move, hit the shot, and they won out. They won the Big East tournament, then they won all six on their way to the national championship. And it's like, that could never happen in football. It's a very, very unique distinction, if you ask me. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Jersey Jack. How you doing, Jack?
Well, I was just listening to you and your last caller, and I agree with everything he said. But I will say this. He is exactly right that we might get punished for playing a very difficult opening season game. And the other thing is, the possibility that we could win out and not make the playoffs, that would be bad.
Yeah, but I also think that the committee has made it very apparent that they won't punish a team. They will look at the non-conference schedule and say, you played Auburn, lost that, won the rest of them. And like I said, if Oregon and Utah win out, I'll bet anybody anything Oregon gets in if they beat the Utes in the Pac-12 title game.
You're probably right, Steve. But, you know, your argument about the NFL, how many NFL teams get in the playoffs?
10.
Out of how many teams?
32.
How many Division I schools are there?
130.
150?
130.
130. It should be 8, Steve. It should be the 5 conference winners and then some at-large teams.
All right. Well, you know where I stand.
I do.
All right. So who are the one-loss teams? So remember one thing. For people saying Georgia didn't play anybody, they played Notre Dame.
But their loss to South Carolina is garbage.
No, I get it, but don't say they didn't play anybody in the non-conference.
But Notre Dame also isn't looking all that great now either. Like, after that loss, they've kind of fallen apart.
Right, but it's also not an FCS directional school.
Sure,
and,
oh, yeah, fair enough.
You know, a Sun Belt school coming into the... Well, put it this way, when they scheduled the game, I think that was the year Notre Dame played for the national title. So, I'm sorry, scheduling Notre Dame in recent years isn't exactly trying to sneak by with a patsy. As far as the other teams...
But their other two games were Murray State and Arkansas State, and then you have the really bad loss to South Carolina in overtime.
Oh, no, I'm not making a case for them. I'm saying by losing to South Carolina, they fall behind Oregon, and I don't even think there's a question.
But is the difference really just that much, that Oregon's one loss... Like, if it was the other way around and Notre Dame or Georgia had lost to Notre Dame but then beaten South Carolina, is it Notre Dame that's, you know, higher up in the rankings and you look
better? Yeah, it's not
better?
As bad a loss.
Is Georgia still fourth for losing to a good team at that point, basically? Because Oregon's sitting at 5 with a loss to a team that was, you know, kind of okay, middling, not great, but like Auburn and Notre Dame are hanging around each other in the rankings,
right,
and they're going to finish around the same each other,
well,
too.
Well, also remember the one thing that people forget of, a lot of it takes care of itself, because if LSU is really what we think they are, they're going to eliminate Georgia in the SEC title game because the Bulldogs will have a second loss.
But that opens the door to SEC crazies that are constantly saying, okay, well, now
it's
time to...
The SEC crazies don't make the decision.
I know, but it you have to end up hearing from these crazies, though.
SEC crazies on Twitter have no say. The people on TV don't have the say either.
I know, but they are the people that think they know what's going on, that feed the crazies, which in turn feed their takes.
But they don't feed the selection committee.
It doesn't matter. We don't hear from the selection committee, though. That's the problem.
Hey, and we've seen a lot of people on ESPN pissed at the selection committee in football and basketball, and they don't care what Dick Vitale or Herb Street says. They go toe-to-toe with them, because you could make a case for every BCS decision by humans and every college football playoff by humans. It's not like they put Alabama in that year when they should have been 7th. In 2011, it was either Bama who lost to LSU or Oklahoma State who lost to Iowa State. Bama had a much better loss. It wasn't even close. They lost to the only unbeaten, and they got in. In the college football playoff going back a couple years ago, it came down to a non-champion. It's this whole thing that the SEC gets their way. I'll tell you where they get their way is their unbeaten might be seated higher than the other unbeaten.
But they've got, you know, Gary Danielson and...
It doesn't matter. They're on the selection committee.
I understand, but they still have people out there that are constantly fighting for the playoff to be 4 SEC teams because they just want 4 SEC teams. There are absolutely people that I'm sure out there that think like that.
Al in Baton Rouge wants 4 SEC teams,
but
nobody else.
You've got Gary saying that, okay, Alabama actually gets better because they lost Tua, because now if they're going to win out, they're a better team that's playing without their best player. Like, these are dumb takes that are being said that people buy into, that people think on TV, then hear, then talk about, that more people hear.
Yeah, but the selection committee doesn't care.
But they have to hear it, because they're not getting locked away in a room for the last 3 months and the next 2 months. They're hearing these things and these
bias really
for people, and they buy into it.
By Gary Danielson.
Yes, I think so.
Go read about, because I've done this already. I've gone through each college football selection committee member. They are too smart. They are too successful. They are too credible. They don't care what these guys
say. But you're asking them to watch 19,000 games a weekend, and they're going to read about it as well. And you have
people
that are spinning and talking and spouting out opinions. And it's always ends up being pro SEC, and that's how you end up with 2 SEC teams in the playoff.
Once and it was justified. You can make a total case. The one time it did, they won the national title. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Chase. Chase, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm good. Hey, you keep bringing up the selection committee, and I'm trying to figure out how does it work for Rob Mullins to talk about the other one losses compared to us?
Well, he's got to be, when Oregon's name comes up, he's got to leave the room.
Right, but how does he not just say Georgia sucks before he leaves the room?
Because he wouldn't be the committee chairman if he said that?
Well, no, but I know, but I'm saying that. How do you have that conversation when you're talking about the fourth team and you have to be involved in that fourth team decision?
Well, the bottom line, people are worried too much about Georgia. First of all, they have to, they're going to represent the SEC East, but if they lose to LSU, they're out. That's two losses. They're not even in the conversation. They're probably not.
What if they win?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What if they win?
Well, then it's a different conversation, and does a sec... Well, if they win, they're in as the SEC champ. Then you got to worry about LSU.
Right, who has one loss, and then you're two one-loss teams again.
Maybe. Because if there's a qualified conference champion, then it's not really a debate. You guys are too worried about the SEC over one instance.
Right. I'm more worried about the committee chairman being the one guy that would actually be able to say, hey, I've seen every game of the Ducks, and he can't talk about it.
Yeah, but they're all responsible for seeing every game.
Right. Well, then we got to stop playing at 10:30 at night then.
Well, that's personally my choice. All right. Thanks a lot, Chase. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Dylan. Dylan, good afternoon. How's it going?
It's going good, Steve. You said there was 10 teams that make the NFL playoffs. I believe it's 12.
What did I say,
4
10?
Division
no.
winners and 2 wild cards.
Dylan, I'm an idiot. Of course it's 12. I don't know. Jack got me flustered.
Okay, I was just wondering. Have a good one, guys.
Take it easy. By the way, somebody just texted, you know, it's quite possible Auburn's not really that good. They've already got 3 losses. The problem is, if you look at their losses, jeez, they have really gone to the wire with some good teams. Their first loss, they just lost. They looked like they were dead in the water. They came all the way back and had the ball with a chance to tie Georgia. They lost at LSU by a field goal where if they hadn't had a big turnover in the first half, could have changed the complexion of that game. They lost at the Swamp against Florida. So the key is right now, by the way, if you're an Oregon fan, you really want Auburn to win the Iron Bowl. First of all, that eliminates Alabama as a one-loss team. A, it upgrades the value of the Auburn loss. Then all you need to do is have LSU beat Georgia, and that conversation is settled.
Their defense is incredibly good, and if Bo Nix could throw the ball somewhat even competently in big moment, well, I mean, especially...
Aside from the end of the Oregon game?
Aside from that one throw that he made, if he actually consistently played like that, they might have won one of those games that they lost. They might have had a really good chance to have beat Georgia last week if, you know, he completes that fourth down pass where he missed a guy wide open, he threw it behind him. I mean, you throw a competent pass in that moment, they're moving downfield a little bit. But their defense is very much keeping them in those games.
They're their lifeline. All right, to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Let's bring in Jim. Jim, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hello, young man. How are you?
All right, what's up?
Well, I want to allude to something that Nick said not too many moments ago regarding the injuries in Alabama to Tua and what Danielson said on the air. I was listening to the Duck Arizona replay last night on ESPN, and it was brought up. They were talking about his injury, and then it was something to the effect of the play-by-play guy or the analyst said, as the committee has mentioned several years ago, they are willing to take into account injuries and figuring out, placements in the top 5, 10, whatever the heck it is.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, that's a bunch of poop. I mean, you're going to weigh somebody's victory, you know, more heavy because their star quarterback or whatever is out, and you're going to, let's say he's in, you know, and they, and or you waited less, or, I mean, is this the inference, or am I, you know, is that what they're saying?
Well, if the bottom line is, and I appreciate the call, Jim, the selection committee, in essence, their credo is, we want the four best teams. And if they decide that come selection Sunday, let's say Oregon lost, let's say Utah lost, let's say Penn State loses, let's say it's down to actually you're going to need two one-loss teams, and they're like, and there's two unbeatens, let's say there's down to five teams, and they're looking at Alabama as one of them, and they're like, evaluating how maybe they played with Mac Jones in the Iron Bowl, and what if they won the game 10-9 and he played like crap, and if it wasn't for the defense, they had no chance, and in their heart of hearts, they felt like they ain't one of the four best teams. Supposedly, that is would come into play in their decision, but we're also getting a little ahead of ourselves. All right, one more call before a break to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go and bring in James. James, good afternoon. How's it going?
It's going good. Hey, so if you're going to weigh into that, then when Oregon played Auburn, they didn't have like two or three of their top wide receivers, right?
Right, but at the time, we didn't know Juwan Johnson was a great wide receiver.
We'd never seen
Pittman play a game because his last one was in the high school playoffs. So I don't know how much water that carries compared to an established quarterback.
They still didn't have some of their top players, whether they were touted that as when the game was not going on or not, they still didn't. But one other thing, you're 100% right. As long as the playing field is not level and each team plays different games as far as in conference and out of conference, it's not the same. It's not the same. It's both fruit, but they're not both apples.
No, that's the one thing I wish.
And I agree with you. Either expand it and have teams find their own way to get there, or leave it how it is and make it the same path for every team to remain unbeaten if that is the criteria to make the four top teams.
All right. Thanks a lot, James. Yeah, like I said, if somebody asked me what I'd really like to see, it's everybody go to 9 games, and that would mean the ACC and the SEC. And your 3 non-conference have to be against another team from a Power 5 league, a team from a group of 6, be it, you know, Mountain West, Sun Belt, or MAC, and then you get your FCS paycheck game because those are important. I mean, the times Portland State comes here or Idaho or whatever goes to play their powerhouse in state, that $1 million really does a lot for those programs to have all of the other programs, women's sports, non-revenue sports for men. All right, break time. We'll be back. More sports talk comes your way. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top 5 RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
14-0 Oregon. Here's play action again. Oh, a little razzle-dazzle flea flicker. Herbert going for Juwan Johnson. Got it! Touchdown, Juwan Johnson on the flea flicker. Down Oregon, and a beauty.
He wasn't that wide open, but that's like dropping a dime perfectly.
Dropping dimes. Welcome back. Sports Talk 95.3 The Score. So that was one of those games where I was feeling it a little early. So Nick is the only one in the world, literally, who can testify.
Unfortunately,
what?
Oh, I don't know where you got it. Just the only person in the world. I was like, unfortunately,
well,
yeah.
Did Oregon score a touchdown on a flea flicker in that game?
They sure did, Steve.
Did somebody on the first play of the game, did I say they should go flea flicker for a touchdown right here?
You sure did, Steve.
So I can't take credit for calling it, but I certainly put it out in the world. More importantly, as we welcome you back to Sports Talk on 95.3 The Score, I lost my parlay on Saturday. I felt cold, so I didn't bet NFL yesterday. But I see a couple of games tonight. First of all, I started with 50. My account's up to 280. So the Blazers are playing the Rockets on NBA TV. I feel like this is one of those check your defense at the door games. And the over-under, even for the NBA, is 231.
Yikes.
So I just put that one in. But now, what do we think about Chiefs-Chargers tonight? We thinking points in this game? It's under unique conditions. Mahomes now another game back full. Hill is back in the fold. 52.5. That's a pretty big number for an NFL game. But if you don't care about the outcome, isn't it always more fun to just bet for points and just be like, score, score, score? In this game, do you have anybody in your fantasy league or playing against somebody you need to root against?
I have Damian Williams, but I'm losing by 33. My fantasy team is not very good. I'm actually a strong contender for my league's punishment, which we kind of brought up earlier where somebody, I think it was Josh said, or was it Josh? Yeah, Josh said that somebody has to get the tattoo of the winner's favorite team on their butt. And that's a little extreme. We just make the loser do stand-up comedy.
Really?
Yeah, so we've done 2 years now. We went did the draft in Tahoe, and we found a bar that was doing an open mic night, which
perfect.
Usually means people doing music and things like that. And we had a friend of ours do a 5-minute stand-up set, and it was painfully perfect and hilarious. This year, we did our draft in Dallas before the game against Auburn, and we did it at a comedy club where we had to like call in and reserve, and we were like, there's going to be 25 of us. We're going to need space for all of our friends to sit, and yes, we have somebody who's going to be doing stand-up as well. And
so let me get this straight.
It was great.
You have your draft, and the loser doesn't do it at the end of the season. He's got to live through the end of the season, all through the preseason, and the day after the draft, then he's got to pay up.
No, it was a couple of days before. We did
but right around then.
Yeah. So, oh, no, yeah, we want to make sure that...
So you got your ass kicked, finished last in January, but you're not paying off until August or September.
Correct.
Oh, God, that is brilliant.
Yeah.
Because that's not only do you lose and have to be humiliated, you got to sleep on it.
Oh, and
know it's coming.
And it's a pressure that builds as well because we talk about it. Our league also has a podcast that we do because we're extra crazy. But like we start looking ahead and being like, this team is, they're not just, you know, they're a toilet bowl contender. They're going to be playing for the worst game at the end of the year. And somebody's going to have to win at that point. Like that's going to have to happen. And the pressure starts building. One of my other friends is texting me and he's like, I don't know if I actually like, I wonder if the world will end before I have to do my stand-up
right,
next
right,
year.
Right, and they're kind of like 50-50.
I'm kind of rooting for it because I think it would be better that way.
Start just egging on the administration, calling the North Koreans.
Oh, yeah.
Americans are making fun of you. They don't think you have the capacity to reach us.
Just running the AC with the windows open, making global warming go faster, whatever it takes.
All right, so here's what I'm thinking. I like the over in the Portland game, 231, and the over in Chiefs-Chargers. So I've built it, like I said, up to 280. So I'm thinking, don't go nuts. Maybe a nice...
275.
How about a $40 parlay? There you go. That's what I'm doing. We're going 40. I'm hitting confirm bet to win $102.
By the way, I know you weren't looking at the lines on Sunday. Who was the dummy that made the Jets 2.5-point underdogs? Because I thought that was stealing money. I honestly feel like I stole from the Oregon lottery when I bet the Jets plus two and a half against Washington. Like, really? Like, neither of those teams are good, but you're really going to be like, home field advantage is 3. They're a little bit close. Two, three-point game, something like that.
How about Washington on the extreme outside saying, whoa. Don't forget about me. This ain't Cincinnati's all the way. Washington's like, I'm not dismissing the Bengals. They're awful, but a little respect here because we're garbage.
They're all so bad. They're just so bad.
By the way, we just got a great Seinfeld reference talking about when Rob Mullins has to leave if Oregon's in the playoff conversation. If he gets excused, he should put a recorder in his briefcase like Costanza with the Susan Ross Foundation. All right, somebody wants to know if we could break down next year's college football playoff scenario.
Well, we are constantly looking ahead, so why look ahead a couple weeks? Look ahead a whole year.
Who's got the toughest non-con? Is next year when Oregon starts playing Ohio State?
Yeah, Ohio State at Autzen. That game's going to be a lot of fun. That's a game day's coming to town game. Absolutely.
Huh.
I'm already waiting in line.
The question is, for Duck fans, if you're betting people, is Shuck going to be the quarterback, or is it going to be one of the high-level recruits starting against Ohio State? Oh, I would say right now that's a 50-50 prop.
Oh, boy.
Interesting.
I don't know enough about recruiting to say the recruiting guy, but I'm gonna go with the guy who's been in the system for a couple years and go Shuck.
All right. That's an early bet. That's early bird wagering. All right. Before we take a break, I want to remind you about our friends at Josh Cooley, the Josh Cooley team, the official real estate team of the Oregon Ducks. I've been telling you for months about the Enclave at the Nines. This is a really neat process, and it's a new housing subdivision located at Ayers Road and Delta Highway, a 68-home development. And if you want in, first of all, check out their website. And it's really cool, EugeneEnclave.com. It's a multi-year project, and let them help you formulate a plan. Sell your place, buy another place. Starts with a phone call, 359-1999. Premium lots available, 6 floor plans. You get multiple options on your master bedroom. So check it out. Again, EugeneEnclave.com. The phone number, it all starts by contacting the best in the business, 359-1999. Or you could email them, info@EugeneRE.com. We appreciate the support of the Josh Cooley team. All right, one of my favorite times of the week. We take a break. We come back. We look back at the ace performers because Light 'Em Up is next. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top 5 RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
Jeff Wilson has come in at running back. Garoppolo's throw is caught by Jeff Wilson. He's going to score a touchdown for the 49ers. And that's how it goes.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes! That was a big difference maker in the NFC right now. Niners sneak past Arizona on Garopp to the second year back from North Texas, the Mean Green. Still have the number one seed. That would have dropped them to a 4 seed as we stand. All right, let's lock it up. It's Monday. Wrap up the first hour of Sports Talk, looking back at the weekend that was, and seek out those who stood out with some remarkable performances in a segment we call Light 'Em Up.
Again, Butter, Steph Curry, his 11th three of the night.
Kobe on a spin.
Yes!
What a display! I can't believe it courtside. Neither could we.
Airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
Oh, my God. How about another? To center field, number 4, Josh Hamilton.
Thanks, Mike Tirico. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Light 'Em Up. It's the best of the best from the weekend, the sports month, whatever. If you did good, or well,
we'll find you.
If you did lit, we'll talk about you. Steve, you're first.
Pains me to say as a New York guy, but Cowboy quarterback Dak Prescott was lit.
It's lit! Shout out Javi! Scott! Because it's lit!
Yeah, and I get the Lions are, you know, the Lions. With a defense ranked 27th in points allowed, 28th in sacks, 30th in passing yards. But it's still the NFL. And this guy just tortured him. 29 of 46, 444 yards, 3 TDs, and 2 different receivers. Randall Cobb, Michael Gallup over a hundy. 6 different players had a catch of at least 15 yards. 2 more went over 40. He averaged 15 yards of completion. He led 5 different scoring drives of more than 70 yards. He had 21 passing first downs, 2 more than Detroit had total. They were 8 of 14 on third down. And despite all those yards, attempts, and shredding, he only took 1 sack. And it was his third 400-yard game of the year. And it pushed the Cowpokes into first in the NFC East. Dak Prescott was lit.
It's lit!
Hey, my turn. Justin Herbert, that kid from Eugene, he's pretty lit.
It's lit! Shout out Javi! Scott! Because it's lit!
If you're listening to this, you probably know a lot about Justin Herbert. You know he's good. He throws the ball around well. He's an NFL prospect, yada, yada, yada. It's all well and good when you hear a lot of people talking about that, but man, when you see it in person, it's just on another level. The wide open pass to Johnny Johnson III on the second play of the game was great. Lead the receiver, he's wide open. And in another universe, he's still running untouched for a touchdown. But the best 2 throws were the ones to Juwan Johnson and Spencer Webb. And I was looking down at the start of the play, so I missed the toss, reverse sweep stuff, but I looked downfield and I was kind of upset because it didn't look like Herbert had anyone to throw to, because in college you have these trick plays and there's just a breakdown and then there's a wide receiver with 3.5 acres of space and he waltzes into the end zone. Well, not with Juwan Johnson. He was covered. He wasn't open, and Justin Herbert had to throw him open. He let that pass go from just about his own 35-yard line and placed it perfectly where it needed to be for Juwan to make that catch. And the catch was very special as well. And I'm not sure, I mean, people said that's an NFL throw. I don't even know if there's guys in the NFL that can make that throw. Then the touchdown pass to Webb. It was a dart. And Webb was, again, not very open, but there goes little Justy Herbert throwing a rocket and breaks the space-time continuum that was like a cartoon where it ended up Webb catches it. It doesn't walk into the end zone, but the momentum of the pass shoves him in. Herbert was lit.
It's lit!
For the second time this season, I got Oklahoma quarterback Jalen Hurts, who was lit.
It's lit! Shout out Javi! Scott! Because it's lit!
On a day, his buddy and the guy who took his job in Tuscaloosa, Tua, got lost for the year with an injury. He helped engineer a comeback the likes of which no one had seen during this abbreviated college football playoff era. Prior to Saturday, all 162 ranked teams with a lead of 25 points or bigger had closed the deal with a victory. Well, Baylor rolled out the now ill-fated advantage of 28-3. Hurts was just getting warmed up. Led Oklahoma to a TD before the half. It was a 21-point game. Then he culminated a 74-yard drive with a TD throw to Austin Stogner. Then he hit Theo Weiss to wrap a 90-yard march, and it was 31-24. His short scoring throw to Braden Willis squared the deal. Then he took Boomaskuna 60 yards for the game-winning field goal. Final numbers, 30 of 42, 292, 4 touchdowns. He ran for another 115. Sooners still alive for the playoff. Jalen Hurts is lit.
It's lit!
Kirk Cousins, the big dopey weirdo himself, was lit.
It's lit! Shout out Javi! Scott! Because it's lit!
It's 100% fact that he's a big dopey weirdo, because it's just, he is. Look at him. I mean, team's leading at halftime, down by 20 points. We're 413 all-time and 95-1 since 2015. It's damn near impossible to lead that comeback unless you're Jalen Hurts or Tom Brady. So that's what makes Kirk Cousins doing this comeback with Minnesota is so weird. He's not supposed to. He's winless in 10 games when trailing by 20 at half, and he only has one tie to show for it just to be able to say, I kind of did it. He's not supposed to win these games, but there went the Vikings. Then the water all the way brought back to life. Three touchdown passes, a monster bomb to Stephon Diggs, and then the winner to Kyle Rudolph, where everybody on Denver just kind of forgot about him, which in hindsight is kind of a bad idea. And even when Mini was going for two and missing those points, trying to catch up more, everything seemed lost, and there's Dopey Dirk Cousins leading the way. I have no idea how he did it, but he did, and it's lit that he did.
It's lit!
Next up, LSU's passing game is just silly lit.
It's lit! Shout out Javi! Scott! Because it's lit!
I get you naturally default to Joe Burrow, but he's getting some help. Their line is a monster. Sadiq Charles at left tackle has played since he's a freshman. Senior center Lloyd Cushenberry's a day one NFL pick. Their guards are experienced. We saw against Alabama, they got a threat out of the backfield in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And in the great tradition of Odell Beckham Jr. or Jarvis Landry, they got another weapon, Ja'Marr Chase. All he did at Ole Miss this Saturday, 8 catches, 227, and 3 TDs. Yeah, that's almost 30 yards a catch. And the guy we mentioned earlier, Joe Burrow's 32 of 42, 489, 5 TDs. He's already the program all-time leader in yards per attempt, completion percentage, quarterback rating, and his 54 touchdowns are already second all-time to a guy who started 4 years, Tommy Hodson. This is his second season as the guy. The LSU passing attack is lit.
It's lit!
Last one for me. There's basketball going on, and Paul George is pretty good at it.
It's lit! Shout out Javi! Scott! Because it's lit!
Mr. Two First Names was a third-place finisher last season for the MVP award in OKC, and, well, I mean, we all remember Dame Lillard waving goodbye to him at the end of that one. Well, now he's back in his hometown of L.A., teamed up with Kawhi Leonard, and after missing the start of the season with a shoulder injury, he's looking like he's back on that MVP kind of game. In two starts this year, he's gone for 33 and 37, shooting better than 54% from three, hasn't missed a free throw, and at least 3 assists and 4 rebounds in those two games. That's a really small sample, and it's just 2 games or whatever, but in one of those games, Clippers won by 49 and scored 150 points. That is the most points scored in a November game of basketball since 1992. That's very lit.
It's lit!
All right, that's a wrap. We'll be back, and to start the 5 o'clock hour, talk some Duck Hoops with Coach Kelly Graves next, 95.3 The Score.
Have you ever been to a volcano?